Recording on a Saturday afternoon, episode 13.
Does this the rum day show. Drinking? Is this day drinking?
Yes, day drinking.
We so like weekend day drinking, like as this. Opposed to like in the office during the week drinking.
So why is this the rum show?
It is the rum show. We have a couple of special guests, very special guests. I won't give any names yet, but we're going to be drinking rum, and we're going to talk about what we watch while we drink.
Have we changed the name of the show?
No, but I'm saying while we drink, we're going to talk about what we watch. All right, should we roll the intro?
Let's go for it.
Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a booze dancing media podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy libations. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. And you can find us on boozedancing.com. And by all means, send us an email at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to answer your questions, take any show suggestions, show us some love.
And you can also get us download all the episodes on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, as well as the website.
That's in the intro, you fool.
It's in the is it?
Yes.
I never listened to the intro.
Like, I don't listen to podcasts. They're kind of boring.
Okay. Anyway, so what do we got today, boys? It's the rum show.
We are drinking rum from all over the Caribbean, actually. We are welcoming the Black Tot folks in today. Mitch Wilson, global brand ambassador of Black Tot Rum, and Don Davies, head buyer at the Specialties Drink Group, which is all part of the Elixir family.
We've had Mitch on before. And I believe we got to see a little bit of what Dawn can do during the whiskey show.
That's right. We were lucky enough to do the virtual experience last year during the pandemic. And it was fun watching those two guys just crazily drink rum and tell us all about rum and popcorn.
Oh, and also, another mission today is to find out if Mitch is a vampire or not. Because I think he is. He does 3 o'clock shows and he's in peak form.
Let's bring him in.
Woo! Booze dancing! Yeah!
Welcome, Dawn and Mitch. Welcome.
I didn't realize they were drinking in the green room.
All right, so let's get the question out of the way. Mitch, are you a vampire?
I think Mitch has alcohol running through his blood. I think that is what keeps him up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, that's fair enough.
That's a different kind of vampire.
I'm a daiquiri vampire.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
I can only come into your bar if I'm invited, but when I do,
you never leave.
What do you do with vampires? Do you invite them in?
You can. Yeah, well, that's the whole rule with vampires.
That's the rule.
Really?
Yeah, they can only come in if they're invited.
Interesting.
They can't come in the door.
Yeah. Okay, so if I don't want to drink daiquiris with you, I just don't invite you into the bar in Luxor.
Correct.
But the caveat with that rule is once you've invited them in once, they're invited for life. So,
what if they wear garlic? And I don't think a cross is going to work. Maybe I carry, I don't know, a coconut.
The garlic's an old wives' tale. Doesn't really count.
It might slow us down. So tonight on Rum and Movies, we're talking about Dracula and the vampire.
Oh, scary.
Dracula, that guy could drink. He was a drinker. Welcome, you guys. Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink. Thank you for coming in on spending some of your Saturday evening in the UK. Where are you guys tonight? Mitch, you're in London?
I'm somewhere near Mars tonight. I'm
somewhere Mars, which is somewhere in it's outside of the EU, correct? And Don, where are you?
After Mars exit, after we
Mars exit
out of the EU, Mars was out of it. They didn't want to pay their things. So
yeah, duty and taxes.
So just so everyone is aware, Mitch today has had his AstraZeneca vaccine. Apparently, it has not made him feel sick at all. It has just made him a little crazy.
Can you lift your arm?
You don't know that.
I can lift my daiquiri arm, which is the main.
No, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
That's that question they ask you when they give you the shot. Which is your daiquiri arm? We want to give it to you in the other arm.
First question he asked, and I said, "Thank you for asking." And I said, "I'm ambidaquirous."
Very good, excellent.
Did you just say, "Give me the injection in my butt"?
That would have been. I'll be standing all night. Don, where are you?
So I'm down in the Cotswolds at my parents'. I'm in very sort of peaceful, quiet, rural England, which apparently is no longer peaceful and quiet because this is the first time anyone's been allowed out of London about 3 months. So the Cotswolds is rammed with random people.
That's the town with all the thatchy houses, right?
Yes, the Cotswolds has all those sort of pretty thatches and the very pretty stonework and everything. Cotswold stone,
right?
It's very raw.
That's funny. When we show Americans pictures of England, we show them the Cotswolds. We're like, that's what we look like.
We don't show them West Acton.
We don't show them where we're actually from, like Essex. Well, apparently we do show them that.
We show everyone.
You're trying to get people to come there.
Penn Station. So we're here to talk about TV, movies, and rum. So we're going to talk. We want you guys to tell us and walk us through Black Tot Rum.
Dawn, would you like to start or shall I?
So, yes, I would love to start, Mitch.
tell us about the origins of Black Tot Rum.
Well, I mean, I guess Mitch is definitely more the professional Black Tot than me. I am very good at...
I get paid to do it. Dawn just does it for fun. I just do it for fun.
So what is quite entertaining about this is that I don't know much about Black Tot Rum. I don't know much about rum. And I'm really shit at movies.
Well, how about television?
We can talk TV as well. TV as well.
If it's Law and Order, yeah, I'm really good at it.
Okay. Oh, we have a special Law and Order episode coming up later.
Law and Disorder.
I actually can tell you a little bit of a story about Black Tot Rum. And the first time I was ever introduced to it, I went to the launch of the original Black Tot Rum, which was on the HMS Belfast. And it was how many years ago now, Mitch? 10?
Yeah, it was 2010.
I think, yeah. And it was quite emotive in a really, really interesting way because we had some of the seamen on board the ship, not only the old guys that served, but, you know, it was really amazing being on the ship, really kind of getting a feel for what those guys would have sort of, what conditions they would have been in, and then having this piece of history. And, you know, I think the one thing I think is amazing about what Sukhinda has done, and Mitch will very much talk a lot about this, is he's brought back history. He's brought back something that had been forgotten and brought back a part of very much what was a part of the UK and all over the world, this piece of absolute incredible history. And I just think that's amazing. And I remember when I first tasted it, I was like, and this was the original one when he found the flagons, which Mitch will definitely talk more about than me. But I remember thinking, I may never taste anything like this again in my life. This was before I knew I was going to work for Sukhinda. So little did I know that would all I would be drinking for the next 5 years of my life.
And then I would come into your world.
And the rest was history.
Should we start with a pour?
Yes,
we should.
Where should we begin, folks?
Let me state that we happily have a little box set of various rums in front of us, all Black Tot rums, and provided to us by the good folks, our friends, Impex, who are associated with our friends at Elixir and Whiskey Exchange. Where are we starting, guys?
Jamaica.
Jamaica we're going to end up in because that's a little funky. We're going to start with Barbados tonight.
Barbados.
Barbados is our little entry point. And so to explain the tasting pack in case anyone's drinking along at home or wondering what we're tasting tonight. So we do a blend of rum called Black Tot Finest Caribbean. And it's a blend of four components from Barbados, two components from Guyana, and one from Jamaica. And typically, I suppose the normal thing to do when you release a blend is to go, aha, look at our blend. Look how wonderful it is. It's so good. You don't want to know where it's come from, but look at what we've put together. We want to really turn that on its head. So what we're trying to do with these tasting packs is say to people, these are the individual components. So we're going to actually try the individual islands, the countries that make up our blend of rum. So from Barbados, Guyana, and Jamaica, see what each of them individually tastes like. And then we'll try the finished blend when it all comes together. And it's a little symphony.
So you're breaking it down.
We're breaking it down. You know.
Deconstructing the Black Tot, if you will.
Deconstructing, exactly.
A little Black Tot degustation for you tonight. So. There you
are. Do you have a nice toast for us, perhaps, before we...
Oh, I like toast.
We'll save that for the end.
Can we not do it twice?
We can do it twice. I'm one of those people who doesn't necessarily have the attention span to last at the end of the podcast. So we'll do one for now and then one for the end. For those of you listening at home, pour a little rum in your glass, smell it, get ready, feel in the moment, and with me, repeat after me. There are tall ships and there are small ships, and there are ships that sail the sea, but the best ships are friendships. So here's to you and me.
And what people at home need to do for the second time we do this one is do the movement. So when we go tall ships, you have to raise your glass up. When we do small ships, you bring it down. When we go around the sea, you go around the sea. And then we cheers.
Smells a lot like choreography.
It's harder to do that toast on the podcast where you're having to describe the movements. It's
good that, right? It's okay.
I'm going to build you up to that on the second one.
I have a question about tasting rum. Is tasting rum similar to the process as tasting whiskey?
Yeah. So this is one of the big misconceptions, I think, that happens in the rum versus whiskey world or rum versus any spirit world, is that we learn these fancy ways of smelling and tasting other spirits. And then sometimes when it comes to rum, we think, like, I've been on tastings before and they're like, are we meant to pour Coke in this first? Or are we like, how are we meant to drink this? And you go, no, just drink it exactly how you would with whiskey. And they're like, can we add a drop of water? It's like, do you do that with your whiskey? Yes. Okay. Then do the same here. Well, I always drink my whiskey on ice. Okay, cool. Well, then do the same here. However you approach spirits, however you approach flavor, you do the same thing. The trouble with rum is often that we think of it as this lower class spirit or this cheaper spirit that has to be mixed. And that's because often that's what we've been exposed to. That's what we've been given. When you have a high quality spirit, it doesn't matter what it is, treat it the same way.
And I think the thing to also think about when you're thinking about whiskey, they're both brown spirits, so you both treat them in the same way. And, you know, it's like, don't think, you know, if you're a rum drinker, probably you think maybe Famous Grouse when right. you think of whiskey. You know, what's the difference? And I think now what we're finding is the quality of rum is really, really increasing. There's some beautifully complex rums out there. And, you know, I actually think it's one of the more exciting categories right now. There's a lot of world whiskies that I think are really, really exciting. And I think rum is in that category, in that sort of space of being something that is just on fire right now. The quality levels are going up and up and up. And I think the one thing to kind of think about when you're drinking any spirit is I always suggest to people, even if you're not a big spirits drinker, just try it neat first. You know, even if you're just dipping your finger in the glass and you're just putting it on your tongue to get used to that alcohol, you know, try it neat first and then, you know, play around with it to get comfortable with the product. It's like anything. It's like wine tasting, spirit tasting, any kind of tasting is just finding your comfort zone within that tasting. And, you know, and don't be worried about trying to like be all kind of like creative about the smells and the tastes. And we've been doing this for decades. If we can't describe something by now, we should probably be sacked. But, you know, sorry, Mitch. See you next week. it's about finding descriptors can often be the thing that most people feel worried about when they're doing any form of tasting, whether it's rum, wine, spirit, anything.
I came to rum about 5-6 years ago, but as a not in cocktails, which get more from a whiskey point of view. And now I'm coming more to it in cocktails. And it seems like you really want to understand the spirit before you start playing around with whatever cocktail you're trying to make. You just don't want to pull something off the shelf and just, well, let's make a whatever. Bartender must have that same approach, I would think.
So the cocktails are what we use to draw you in. The fashion, if you've seen our tropical shirts, that's what we use to draw you in. We draw you in with flamingos and flowers and all of this exoticness. And then once you've had your first pina colada, we're like, bam, here's some amazing rum as well to go with it. You're right. It's a completely different road into a spirit category than we get from whiskey and cognac. Like when we're marketed people drinking whiskey or brandy or cognac, we're marketed these very distinguished people, probably in a leather armchair with a cigar, you know, at a fireplace drinking something, you know, very expensive and very worthwhile. When we're drawn into rum, we're drawn into it with, you know, this idea of being on a beach in your hammock, you know, Tom Selleck with his shirt undone and a mustache, like.
Not today's Tom Selleck.
It's a completely different road into the spirit. And the interesting thing is either way, you end up at the same place, but rum, you go through this extra step of it being like a party spirit first before you get to the distinguished level. Whereas whiskey, cognac, brandy, those kind of things straight away tell you this is, you know, distinguished at the top.
Are you sure, Mitch?
You sure? I think it depends on the whiskey.
Tennessee in the UK, in the US, may take a different route.
Well, possibly. We could also get into vodka and
that's not
and gin, our favorite category.
Let's talk about how people gain spirits in other ways. But you know, rum, I think, is what more it does have a very iconic thing, and most people think if you think about rum as the average person buying bottles of rum who might not be their full-time thing, they think islands, they think beaches, they think hammocks, they think the sea, the ocean. It's got, they might think pirates and sea monsters, depending on what kind of marketing they've been and seen. You know, it's a very different road into the spirit. And you know what, it's not all bad, because that gets so many people. If it wasn't for people getting into it going, aha, this is like Pirates of the Caribbean, or this is like that. Like, that gets so many people onto the first step, the first rung of the ladder, if you like.
I think it's interesting how but most people, I think, are introduced to rum through cocktails. Mm-hmm. Forget the stuff on the outside. Whereas whiskey, you generally not, I think, and scotch. Mm-hmm. But for rum, you are. So now we're seeing people who have started in cocktails, you know, whatever, rum and coke is the basic one to Mai Tais, and now we're deconstructing the drinker to drink the components separately, the spirit separately. And that's a big change, because you don't have all that sugar, you don't have all that sweetness, and you're drinking this stuff that's like the really the basis of the whole drink separately.
But I think that's our jobs as rum ambassadors, to take people on that journey. You know, whenever I'm in the shops, where I am every Christmas, I spend like the whole month in the shops with my teams, and I always do tastings. And whenever someone comes to me and said, oh, you know, I'm just getting into rum, I will give them a rum that has had some sugar added to it. So a sweetened rum, because I understand that that's how people kind of come through the category, and then you kind of build them up a little bit. So you'll say, oh, you know, okay, why don't you try this rum from Barbados that has no sugar added? Or then you go up to kind of the funky Jamaican, and by that point they've already run out the door because they're so scared by anything so funky. And then I always finish them with a bit of Claran, and I'm like, this is something that's going to blow your mind, because it's a white rum, but it's not a flavorless white rum. It's got so much character and beauty, and it's our job. It's so important. It's our job to take people on that journey and really get them to discover what the variety of flavor out there. Because I think so many people just think rum is spiced or sweet. And you know, there's so much great stuff out there. And that's why, you know, doing things like Black Tot, deconstructing it, is really showing people that you know, there's so many different flavors. And I think rum, you know, Mitch and I talk about this quite a lot, is such a unique spirit in the way that it's often a blend of different countries. You know, unless you're Japan or Japanese whiskey, then hey, fill your boots.
A wacky category on its own.
And I think, you know, that in itself is very unique as a product, you know, to have this. And that goes back to that naval tradition. And I think there's much to explore with rum, and there's such a rich history, and it's such an intriguing category. And I think that's how you kind of, those stories are what draw that customer in. And, you know, as Mitch says, if you're, you know, suddenly you're not just drinking a daiquiri, you're drinking a daiquiri with, you know, a bit of agricole and some Black Tot, as Mitch would say.
So tell us about the first component here, the Barbados component. What's its story?
So the first component, so this is a five-year tropically aged Barbados rum coming from the Foursquare distillery. So made by Mr. Richard Seal. You may have heard of him. Yep. He likes it dry. So he's makes a beautiful, elegant pot column still blend, very tropical, very fruit forward. I always think of Barbados as the pina colada of rums. You know, it's the rum you imagine when you picture drinking your rum on an island in your hammock with a little coconut. You know, Rihanna's walking along the beach. You're in Barbados. It's the home of rum. It's where molasses was first distilled into rum. And for me, it's a beautiful start to any tasting, but it's also a beautiful point to start someone if they're new to rum. Barbados is a perfect midpoint. It's not too light, it's not too heavy, it's not too grassy, it's not too sweet. It's just perfectly balanced. And if you start someone on their rum journey there, depending on their reaction to it, they might go, bang, this is my country, I'm going to stay here. Or I can give you something funkier, I can give you something lighter, I can take you to all these different parts around the Caribbean. But Barbados would always be my starting point.
I always like to liken Barbados to, say, Speyside. You know, it's that comfort zone rum, that comfort zone whiskey. People, I know Speyside, I understand, even though Speyside doesn't necessarily taste of a Speyside, you know, it's all different. But, you know, there's definitely an element of that safety net, I think, in Barbados.
How old is this distillery, Foursquare? Has it been around for a long time? Or
the rum distillery is only about 20 years old now. The sugar estate, which it's founded on, goes way back to
I think it's 1843 in my head, but I could be wrong on that because I don't remember numbers, which is always helpful for a buyer.
They built the distillery on the Foursquare sugar estate. It's been running for the last 20 years or so. So,
okay.
So if you know brands like Dawley's or RL Seal, or now the Foursquare brand themselves have come through. But all of that comes from that same distillery.
Okay. And so you guys went to Richard and said, we want this profile for one component in this party that we're making.
So this is a bigger topic in how rum works and how things go in the rum industry. Okay. So if you want to build a rum blend, generally what you do is you go to a company here in Europe called EA Shear, and they have a library of about 1,000 different rums from all across the Caribbean, Australia, Indonesia, everywhere around the world. It's very, very hard to go to individual distilleries in the Caribbean and say, right, I want a few barrels of this from you, a few barrels of this from you, a few barrels of this from you. The logistics of the Caribbean don't work that way. We're not set up that way. So almost always in the rum world, it will come through a broker of some sorts. Now, that said, you do have personal relationships, or if you're any good, you have personal relationships with the individual distillers and people, and you can sometimes say, hey, I want this or I want that or whatever. And unless you're going to literally order your own boat to go and pick it up from the island, you're not going to get that cask. So what will normally happen is one of two things. If you want something for a bigger blend, like Blacktop Finest Caribbean that we make here, is an ongoing blend. So it's going to be consistent every year. We're not looking for single casks, something one-off that we can only make 200 bottles of. We're looking at something that we can do, you know, a few thousand bottles of a year, hopefully, if we sell it well, right? So they will go through one place and they'll say, right, we've made this amount of this type of flavor profile of a five-year Barbados, and this goes here. If you want something single cask, you go somewhere else and you say, right, I want a one-off 200 bottle cask of this, and they'll give you some samples and you try one and you pick your single cask. So it really depends what you're looking to create. So something like this, for instance, the five-year component we use in Blacktop Finest Caribbean, this is a five-year component that is in this rum library in Amsterdam. And we go, we want something fruity and tropical and something that gives us this kind of pina colada-esque flavor. And the broker says, we've got this 5-year from Foursquare. Do you want this? And we go, yes, this is amazing. This tastes fantastic. And that's what we put into the blend. So,
wow, crazy. Well, should we move on to the rum number two, or should we talk a little TV?
We could do a little bit of both.
We could. So now we're going to the Guyana, correct?
Yeah, pour a little Guyana rum and we'll talk about whatever Hollywood productions you want to discuss tonight.
Interestingly enough, we're watching a little less Hollywood.
We're all on a foreign bent here on our TV watching.
Just so you guys know, Mitch and I decided we would spend a long time discussing this podcast over maybe several bottles of wine. And we decided to come up.
You are awesome, awesome guests.
We thought we'd match the distilleries with movie stars. The only problem is Mitch wrote it down somewhere. I cannot remember a single one we did, except I think Joyce Spence might have been Meryl Streep. And I'm pretty sure that we had Foursquare as... No, that's gone. So we did spend a lot of time preparing it. I do believe Mitch wrote it down because Mitch was clearly...
I've only just remembered that we actually did this. Okay, now I do. Oh, I've got...
How much wine did you drink?
You know, the great thing about this is that their organizational skills, they could definitely work for us. This is how we work. This is perfect.
All right.
We really.
Do you want to know what Foursquare was?
Yes.
Can I guess? Can you give me a clue?
Yes. Okay. See if we get
these are. This is a movie star, movie actress, movie actor.
Even better. Wait. How would you describe Foursquare?
Yeah.
And then maybe we could all guess.
Yes.
And then we'll figure out how close we are.
But the only problem is if I describe Foursquare and I can't remember who I gave. The movie star too.
There's no wrong answer, is there?
There's no wrong answers.
Okay, hold on, Mitch. Give me a little clue.
Okay. I definitely can't say that on air. No, so...
Everything's editable.
You can say whatever you want.
We're not live.
A little bit dry. Might take itself too seriously.
Oh my God, this is really stressful. I kind of remember anything.
Dead or alive?
So it was definitely someone quite serious.
Alive, just, but fantastic comedy all the way through as well. Like a dry humor.
It was John Cleese.
John Cleese.
Yes!
Oh. John Cleese. He's got it. It's not too seriously. It's John Cleese.
Foursquare rum equals John Cleese.
I like John Cleese and I like Foursquare. So this works.
Too. Yeah. We thought it was because there was a bit of reserve, but there was lots of joy. So, you know, John Cleese gives you joy, but he's very British and reserved. So we kind of thought that was where it was going. I like this game so much.
What about do we know where the Guyana rum is from?
Well, yes. By default, Guyana rum can only come from the one distillery, Demerara Distillers, because all of the others shut down over the last 200 years. Guyana has... One of the richest sugar histories and rum histories of any place. Like it was a real powerhouse of sugar production, therefore of molasses production, therefore of rum production. Okay, everyone's heard about Guyanese sugar and the history of it, even if you don't realize, because if you've heard of Demerara sugar, Demerara refers to the Demerara River flowing through Guyana, surrounded by sugarcane, and it would have had dozens and dozens and dozens of these sugar refineries built throughout the country, each with a little rum still next to it to process the molasses that went through and turn it into delicious rum. So over the years, this was decimated, essentially, because you had various different factors that played in. That would have meant that it wasn't worthwhile having all of these sugar factories, these sugar refineries going on anymore. First and foremost, you had the abolition of slavery. So early 1830s, going on to subsequent decades, you had the sugar industry suddenly, it wasn't the free industry it was before. It wasn't this low-cost industry anymore. So the sugar, the cost of producing sugar goes up tremendously. Secondly, you have sugar production throughout the Caribbean being made by all these other countries and undercutting Guyana. Thirdly, you had industrialization. So you could now transport things further than you did before. You could get molasses to another point. You could distill it somewhere else. You could do other things. And then in recent years, a sort of almost unexpected one, they discovered oil off the coast of Guyana. So they converted their final sugar refineries into oil refineries in recent years. So they make very, very little molasses in Guyana anymore. So now everything got consolidated over the last couple of centuries. And in the last few decades, they did this interesting thing. They took these last remaining stills as they closed down each distillery, and they moved them on to the next distillery so that now you have this one distillery left. It's got, I think, 11 or 12 rum stills left in it. And half of them are stills from previous distilleries, places that have closed down. It's a real museum of Guyanese rum history.
Including a couple of wooden stills, which I think are the only wooden stills in existence. So they have a wooden column and a wooden pot, and it's insane, all Brazilian hardwood. And it's one of the, it's a piece of rum history. And I think that rum has all these just beautiful stories. And, you know, like the rums from Guyana, from Diamond and the distilleries, they're all so different because they have all these, so many different stills. So they do really kind of light styles. They do the big ones. I mean, El Dorado is the famous rum to come out of there, really. That's super, super interesting. And I think, I mean, Mitch, would you say, because for me, actually, it's really interesting. I just got quite excited there. None of you could see, well, none of the people that are listening, because you guys can see me. I just got quite excited because I stuck my nose into it and it was really buttered popcorn. It was really toffeed. And it had this really kind of lovely little caramelly kind of character. And I thought, hold on, I have some salted caramel popcorn right next to me.
Popcorn by who? What is the brand?
So it's Joe and Seth's, which is Mitch's favorite popcorn in the world. On top of the fact that we spent obviously several hours drinking wine, discussing movie brands or movie people with rums, also then decided, well, we had to bring popcorn into the mix. So now have popcorn everywhere. And so I'm not going to lie. When I decided the popcorn pairings, I might have been a little hungover because Mitch and I had been out on the first day in bars for me in 3 months. Apparently, it all got a bit too exciting for me.
So understandable. Totally understandable.
So I wasn't 100% sure I was going to get these pairings right. But I have to say, the salted caramel with the Guyana rum, spot on.
Who would know that caramel and Guyana would go together?
Oh, Mitch.
So who is our paired actor or actress with this?
Okay, Mitch, you need to give me the clues because I don't remember the scene.
And then we guess. Remember, we have to guess.
Hold on.
And then Guyana is multifaceted. So
Guyana is not at all what you'd expect. I don't know how we got to this person.
I guess we'll have to make it up.
You know how you got to this? About 5 bottles of wine and a couple bottles of rum. And a whole lot of popcorn.
This was one that came later.
It was right near the end. All right. I don't even know how you get to this.
Is it Liam Neeson?
That would be good.
Liam Neeson?
When you find out who it is, it's not a terrible guess. It's of the same vein, but of a completely different cultural background.
Idris Elba.
It's not Idris Elba. It also would be another good person. Imagine someone giving no fucks. It's just going to do an amazing fucking job.
Is it Bono?
Jason Statham.
Jason Statham would be another guy.
Is it Kate Winslet?
He just gives no fucks about anything. Like, but he doesn't care if he does a good job or not. Like, this person will deliver.
Action movie?
Yeah, you definitely put him in an action movie. You definitely have him holding a gun to
Do someone. I like him? Do I fancy him?
Quite possibly, I'm guessing.
Is it a James Bond guy?
I don't think it's Daniel Craig because I think Daniel Craig does care.
Too clean.
Yeah, Daniel Craig cares.
Too clean cut. Both of those, too clean cut. No.
Will Smith.
Feel a little bit more gritty, a little bit more like, you know.
Okay, Mitch, no one can see what you're doing there. Mitch is moving around.
Like, he's hovering above Mars again.
I can't visualize. A little. Okay, it's like playing charades, but like with no hand.
Tom Cruise?
With no
not
clues.
Gritty.
No, Tom Cruise cares. Too much
imagine,
cares.
Imagine a red rag to a bull.
Oh, so it's so not, a matador.
It's not the guy that did
Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem. Yeah.
Oh, man.
We're close. We're in the ballpark.
So he's Spanish.
Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
Any Latin actor? Let's go.
Ricardo Montalban.
No. Ricardo Montalban.
Who's the guy in Sicario?
Yes. Oh, here we go.
Benicio del Toro.
Benicio del Toro. Keanu Rahm. Wow.
And he does not care. That's true.
He does not care. He literally does not care.
John Davies, can we reverse engineer why we picked Benicio del Toro for Guyana Rum?
Because I like him and I wanted to put him somewhere, I'm guessing.
and there's rum over here.
A double entendre? That's what I want to know.
Probably. At that point in night, it could have been anyone. I mean, now thinking back on it, I quite like it.
Benicio, that's funny.
I'm there.
Sure,
I like Liam Neeson better for the part, but I'm still there.
I was gonna say Danny Trejo, but
no, that's oh, that might be a little.
That would be a good one.
Machete.
Ooh,
great one.
This is nice though. I like the guy. It's a lot sweeter than the Foursquare.
I think yeah, I was going to say, lot. I think the guy is a little too sweet to be Danny Trejo. It's a little.
True. Yeah.
It's darker.
If you threw a shot of Tabasco in this, it could be Danny Trejo.
That's right.
Yes.
Mitch, do you want to talk about why it's so dark?
And why is it so dark? Too much sun?
Because I added caramel to it. Yeah. It's one that, so this, this is an interesting hang up of the rum industry, right? It goes back a good couple of hundred years, but traditionally, if you were blending a rum, say you were doing it in Europe, you would order rum by the color or by the flavor mark, if it was from Jamaica, say, but you could order your rums as I want a silver or a gold or a dark rum. Okay. And unfortunately, this is carried forward to today where people go, let's define all rums by white, gold, and dark, which is a shit way to describe any spirit. Because imagine going to your favorite whiskey bar and being like, what kind of whiskeys have you got? Brown whiskeys?
Okay. Light brown whiskeys and
where are they from?
Sepia?
Europe?
Yeah.
Well, not Europe anymore because we left. But you know,
Scotland's going back, Mitch.
Yeah, well,
I believe you're still in Europe.
Yeah, play to them. That's a very fucking clever choice, right? to go back. But even in Scotland, imagine saying to the average Scotch nerd, which I know all of you are, going, "Oh, all of Scotland's the same." It's like, well, what about the Highlands, Lowlands, Bayside, blah 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 blah. How many ppm? Blah 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 blah. And all of these like little distilleries 5 minutes away from each other, and like, oh, actually, the distillery on this side of the river is completely different to the other side of the river. And like, you'd have so many nuances and flavors and different things from all of these places in one tiny little country. And then you have the whole Caribbean and you go, oh, it's all white, gold, and dark. It's fine. Well, yeah. What? This tells you nothing.
And I get quite worked up about this because I've been trying to educate the UK about how we talk about rum and categorize rum. And I won't mention the journalist's name. Still But this person of, I won't even say what sex they were, this lady, basically turned around and was like, at the Whiskey Exchange, that they suggest that we think about these, but I still like a gold rum in my cocktail or whatever she put. I was like, okay, so you've totally not read what we've done, and actually you have not done your journalistic research. Oh, okay. Did I need to spoon feed that for you? And you know, I think it's such a bad misconception that everyone just believes that when you talk about it. But you know, and actually one thing Mitch and I sometimes say is that, you know, it'd be like going into your wine shop and saying, I want red, white. What does that mean?
Yeah. You know? Well, Dawn Davies is a master sommelier of wine. Okay. She has
wrong title, Mitch.
She has the initials MW after her name, which I believe mean Mistress of Wine, or Mitch Wilson, I don't know, but Mistress of Wine.
Well, that would be weird.
It was destined.
It's a good thing I haven't got MW tattooed on my ass yet, Mitch.
That's the final test that they put you through on the sommelier course. But it is one of those things. You go, well, okay, so you know everything about wine, but a newbie to wine might go, okay, well, there's white, pink, and red. And you go, okay, and you go to the restaurant, and you go, what kind of wines you got? And they go, well, we've got white, pink, and red. And you go, that might get you in a ballpark. That might get you in a rough area of like, oh, yeah, I want this. But you would then hope someone would go, okay, like someone like Dawn, preferably, would go, okay, so you're eating this. Okay, you want this grape from this region. It's going to taste like this. It's going to pair this way. It's going to give you this flavor profile. It's made by this person. This is the terroir of what you're drinking, and this is why it's going to be the fantastic accompaniment for your night. You cannot go with anything, whether it's wine or spirits or anything, and just go, oh, well, this is the color. So,
and I think, you know, I think even we know in Scotch, people have a perception that the darker the whiskey, maybe it's a sherry cask or maybe it's an older whiskey. And we know for a fact, especially in rum, that that's not true at all because of this addition of adding. So like a dark rum normally just is caramel added. There is no aging process to it at all. It's a white rum with caramel added. So, you know, I think it's such a misconception to the consumer. And I think that's where rum has to improve and work on. It has to become much more transparent, and it has to evolve this conversation with the consumer in order to, I think, pull in that whiskey consumer, to pull in that cognac consumer, to pull in that other brown spirit consumer, because I think it's gone past the point of it's not about pirates anymore. It's not about pirates anymore. It's about
really not fun. We like pirates. Johnny Depp out of work.
Everyone likes Johnny Depp. That's the problem.
I used to think Johnny Depp was my brother. I don't know why. I never had a brother or a sister, and I thought Johnny Depp was my brother for like the longest time. Apparently, my mom tells me that's not true.
You could have picked Richard Greco. That's a 21 Jump Street reference that no one understands.
No, I loved him. So Johnny Depp was my brother, and Richard Greco was the man I was going to marry. I mean,
when you marry, when you don't marry. Exactly. And on that note, what's the last TV show you watched?
Law and Order, because that's all I watched.
Law and Order? That's the last one you watched? What season?
Oh, no. Like, they're on all the time in the UK, because in the UK, apparently we don't have any other TV except for Jurassic Park, The Hobbit, and some really crap game shows that no one wants to watch. And I don't really understand British humor, so this doesn't help either. So like some of these other random things that are British, I don't really get. So yeah, and also I like to watch Montalbano. I think I should have been a police detective, basically, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Or a criminal.
I think I probably already stepped onto that side of the line at some point in my life, but...
Yeah, I watch the procedurals as a how-to and figure out how I get away with stuff. That's all I want to do. I take notes.
So I need to give a shout, because I know we talk about movies tonight. I need to give a shout out to a mutual friend of Dawn and mine called Sophie Bratt, who looks after Sexy Fish in London. And Sophie Bratt is renowned for many things, but mainly for the fact that she only watches the worst possible movies in the world. And specifically, her favorite movie in the world is not Jurassic Park, but Jurassic World. She loves Jurassic World, which out of all the Jurassic Parks, you think would not be your favorite, but she goes for that. She specifically likes shark movies. Now, the most famous of all the shark movies that all
Sharknado.
Sharknado, yes, okay. That would be a Sophie Bratt movie for shark. You might think of things like Jaws.
Jaws?
Sophie Bratt goes for Jaws 3, the worst of all the three. Oh, Jaws
is that movies. The 3D that's one with Michael Caine?
Or The Meg, which admittedly The Meg is the best and worst shark movie ever made, because and hailing back to Jason's Statham.
Jason Statham, yes.
If anyone was ever going to punch out a shark, it would be Jason.
which and the shark should be afraid.
They never, for some reason, they decided to record a whole two and a half hour movie of Jason Statham chasing a shark, and he never punches out the shark, which is crazy to me.
What movie have you watched, Mitch?
What's the last TV show you've watched?
Well, I've been doing my Netflix series recently. So,
ooh, which one?
My favorite ones have been Spicy Chess, Angry Hats, and Naughty Train. So,
have you not watched Schitt's Creek?
I think you have a porn station. That's not Netflix. No,
so Spicy Chess, Queen's Gambit, if anyone's seen that.
Spicy Chess, otherwise known
as Spicy Chess. Angry Hats, Peaky Blinders.
Oh, I have not seen that.
And Naughty Train, Snowpiercer. I find going through Netflix shows and just renaming them is a much more fun way to watch TV in general.
Fascinating.
Exactly like what we were doing with all the distilleries. I mean, this is a theme.
Have
you not watched Schitt's Creek? I love Schitt's Creek.
Oh, we love the Schitt's Creek.
I feel like they already reduced that name to its lowest common denominator.
No, they did.
Right. You can't go any further.
Where do you go from there?
So that's why you won't watch it, because you can't rename it?
Yeah, probably.
And since you mentioned Peaky Blinders, I want to raise my glass to Helen McCrory, who passed away. Cheers to her. I saw that in the paper this morning. Polly, yes. And married to...
Damian Lewis.
Yep. She's in lots of different shows. She was a wonderful actress. Very, very good. Yeah. Excellent.
Harry Potter.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yep. And she was in, I believe she was in some episodes of Homeland, too. Also. Maybe because of Damian Lewis. Yep. Hey, gentlemen upstairs there, what have you guys watched lately?
There's a long list. Well, longish.
Give me the short version.
Okay, the short version. All right, so there's really five things I've watched. But, you know, going back to the whole drinking and coming up with ideas, have either of you watched Another Round with Mads Mikkelsen?
No.
It's a Danish film with Mads Mikkelsen. It's sort of a midlife crisis movie, I guess I would describe it as. So he's a teacher in a high school, and there's three others. One of them comes up with, there's apparently some philosopher, I don't know if he's a philosopher or whatever he is, comes up with a theory that all of us have to kind of maintain a certain, what do you call it? Not ABV, but what would our alcohol content be?
Oh my God, I would be like illegal.
But they said humans are supposedly, blood alcohol content. We're supposed to stay at about 0.05%. And in order to do that, you basically have to just kind of drink all day. Start drinking in the morning, finish drinking at night, but just enough to stay at equilibrium. And when you do that, you're at your peak imagination, peak motivation, you know, inspired to do all the stuff. So four of these teachers, one's a math teacher, I think, one is an English teacher, one is a soccer coach or football coach, however you call it. They all kind of take this experiment. But of course, with drinking, things are going to go off the rails a little bit. So there's problems with
the problem.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie. It's really, really interesting. Mads Mikkelsen's fantastic. He was really good. The whole cast was good.
If you were going to choose your ABV, what ABV would you be?
Oh, wait, if I was an ABV? Or do you mean to be at that ABV? If I went to 55, I think I'd be dead.
Whiskey with a five, right?
Kilo's got to be over 70%.
Absolutely. We're going Navy rum.
Cask strength.
Cask strength, Navy rum. All the way.
I like it.
Gilo's fire water. Come on.
I'm fire.
So probably I'd be in the mid-40s, I think, mid-40s. To get through the day.
Chill filtered or not chill filtered?
Oh, not chill filtered.
You're at least 46%. Come on.
Yes, down. Correct.
Not chill right. filtered. No coloring added. No,
I do have to get through the day. Yeah. This is as pasty as I get, and I'm happy with it.
Mike? What ABV?
I'd probably a light aperitif, I'd probably be in the
city. She's a Campari.
That's me.
Are you like
I thought you were going to go like 96%, fucking like bump the whole lot. Mike, I feel like you're a solid 63 Ray nephew, just like little overproof.
He is an SMWS member, so that's probably true.
Yes.
Can't even taste it below 60s. It's like 59 if I'm having a quiet day. Let's go.
on a soft day, we're going 58,
59. Yeah. We'll water that shit down.
Three drops. No more than three drops.
Just for those of you who can't see, Mike is actually drinking water right now unless it's pure vodka. We're on a whole different ball game here.
Or it might be gin.
I actually think I would prefer vodka to gin right now.
Is it Tito's?
Right now or
right
in general?
Right now in general in your life or at this moment?
Right now in general in my life. Purely because I have like 9,000 gin producers emailing me every day to tell me how different and unique their gins are.
You're ginned out.
I'm ginned out.
They use different botanicals. It's the botanicals. It's all about the botanicals.
It's the botanicals.
Botanicals. They're so different.
Years ago, it's like all the bartenders teamed up and we were like, let's make people not drink vodka. Let's make them drink flavored vodka and give them gin instead.
It was you. You did it.
Let's try and get people drinking more interesting things. And then suddenly everyone went, okay, let's make 9,000 gins. And here we are. So on behalf of the community, I apologize. We thought we were heading the right direction. You know when like something gets too mainstream, it's no longer cool anymore. It's like vodka was there, now gin's with it. Now it's like, okay, now we all need to drink rum because that's not like mainstream enough unless it's got a pirate on it. So like, you know.
Yeah, but now they're all wanting spiced rum. No, because now all the gin
spiced rum was there before gin was.
But Mitch. All the gin people realize that they can't sell gin anymore, so now are making spiced rum, or as they prefer to call it, botanical rum.
I'm telling you right now, if a watermelon rum comes out, it's all Mitch's fault. Mitch tried it. Just like those watermelon vodkas. It's all your
fault. You know what? I would drink it, though.
Ideas.
I blame Mitch for
martinis.
I blame Mitch for everything.
Well, that's a different show. But it's a very long series. Episode one.
It's like Game of Thrones.
It's a lot like Game of Thrones. And the prequel is going to be really good. We'll be talking to Mitch's parents.
Gets really bad by the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, it'll just be, I think it'll be the one that everyone wanted to end really quickly.
Season was off.
Exactly. Yes. Have you guys seen CB Strike?
No.
That sounds very American.
It's not at all.
But it takes place in London.
And it takes place in London. And it's written by a series of books from J.K. Rowling.
Oh, I don't like her.
We don't like her either. But she wrote it under her nom de plume. I think it was like Dave Johnson.
That's right.
And then it became a series. And it's with what's that guy's name? Tom Burke.
Oh yeah.
And Holiday Granger. It's on where is it? Where is it, Ange? It's on HBO Max.
It's on HBO Max here. Also future sponsor of What We Watch When We Drink.
Correct.
We have a lot of future sponsors. We have unlimited future sponsors.
That's right.
Are these sponsors you haven't spoken to yet that you're hoping will come on?
We're hoping they listen.
They've yet to return a phone call, but we're really sure they're going to.
I know I'll have arrived when they block us on Twitter.
That's right. That's the goal.
How'd you get blocked on Twitter?
I don't know. I didn't. I'm saying when we get blocked.
You can do it. President Trump
you.
Did.
Can you?
Banned.
That'd be great.
Yes.
I'm not on Twitter.
You lead the Republican Party for 4 years.
That's right. Then you come back.
Yeah, and then you get blocked.
I don't think they'd want me.
Just before you leave, you get the block.
I think I would get into far too much trouble if I led any party. However, I think the UK needs me to lead them right now.
Well, now wait. Let's back up, Don. You mean political party?
Oh yeah.
But a party.
We like a party. A party.
No, I'm very good at
You're parties. Large and in charge.
I'm do that.
I'm head of the party.
Don, what party would you lead?
My SNP.
The Don Davies party.
The Don Davies party.
Don Davies party. Sounds like.
What's your platform?
Fun.
Oh, this can't. Is not. You can't lose with this platform. This is a winning platform.
And she gets all the votes. All the votes.
Surely popcorn is the platform.
This is how Churchill won. He was on the party platform too.
Let's just look at the similarities between myself and Churchill. I could easily drink a pint of champagne a day. I could smoke a cigar. I like a cigar. I'm not as bigoted as Churchill, but let's not worry about that. I'm not bigoted at all. But I definitely could drink a lot of Paul Roger.
Look good in black.
My drinking habits and Churchill's drinking habits are probably fairly similar.
Look at
that. I'm sure that's really a good thing.
But, you know, okay. You never see Don and Churchill in the same together.
That is true.
I think it could be the same person.
You know what? So I've been reading some stuff lately that says everything you know about Winston Churchill and his drinking habits are a lie. All right. So back in the 1910s, if that's a thing. So 1913. Churchill became the Sea Lord of the Royal Navy. But he became a Sea Lord of the Navy, and they said to him back in 1913, you should get rid of the daily rum tot. And he said, that's not a bad idea. And they went into it, and around 1913, they were looking at getting rid of the rum tot and having Black Tot Day early on in the whole thing, getting rid of the rum ration. And he didn't want to go all the way through with it because he had some other bills that he needed to get through. But they had this one little thing, and it got suggested that so every day, if you're on the Royal Navy ships, you used to have to declare, I don't want rum. If you don't want the rum ration, you had to say, I don't want rum, I want the payment instead. And they would mark everyone who was not taking the rum with a little T by their name for temperance to say, okay, you're sober. And then in 1913, Churchill passed this rule, which had been suggested a couple of years before by someone else, but Churchill took full credit for it. And he said, okay, rather than writing a T by everyone's name, we're going to make everyone say, I want the rum ration. So you were sober by default, but if you wanted rum, you could go and ask for it. So everyone still asked for the rum, but the psychology behind it was that they felt new people coming into the Navy would say, I'd better follow what the older officers are doing and take the rum and ask, you know, and I would never stay. I'm sober. Like, imagine going to a bar and saying, I don't want to drink. Like, no, you're drinking. I'm not going to have a drink. I'm just going to have a water. They flipped it around and they changed it to that you have to ask for the rum. And that was Churchill's big thing. And they said, oh, this is going to save so much money and get rid of the rum ration. And it turned out it took another 50, 60 years to get rid of the rum ration.
But why would that mean he didn't drink?
Because he was on the side of the temperance movement.
No, he just wanted people to drink champagne, Mitch. That's a very, very different thing.
Well, apparently he was more sober than, or his actions were
how
more
do you
sober.
Drink a pint of champagne a day and be sober?
Right.
What we've been told is that Churchill wasn't the raving drunkard that we thought he was.
I think it's all lies.
Well, that's a less fun story.
That is the
one killed. Heard, so edit all of that out. So Churchill was fucking raving and doing ignore all the historical evidence because the story is better. That's what we need.
There's
one thing we've learned in the last few years. It's like, let's just ignore history. Let's just go with the better story.
The one thing I heard about Churchill was that he never finished a glass, and that people would constantly bring him glasses. He would talk to people and set them down, and then go on, and someone else would bring him another glass. So it gave the impression that he was drinking a lot.
Avian at Trailer Happiness.
But he wasn't actually drinking. He was just getting glass after glass.
So we had a theory the other day. I was talking to my friends and we were like, how are we going to go back out to nightclubs and stuff? We're so out of practice. You know, we haven't been drinking for that long. I said, but honestly, how many times in a nightclub did you actually drink anything? Because all you would do is go around, put the glass down somewhere, and lose it.
Get it. Yep. Get another one.
Get another one.
Maybe you did that. I drank my drink. I know Mike drinks his drink, and I'm sure Aaron drinks his drink.
Yes. But then yeah, I'm not going to lose a drink.
We go to bars, not clubs, so it's different.
Yeah, I mean, in a bar, I drink. The problem is I'm also a bit of a social butterfly, so I have to hug everyone, which is why coronavirus is not my friend.
why you spread it throughout England.
Well, there is a theory that I need
zero.
So it's Dawn Super Spreader Davies.
Yes.
That doesn't sound right. Never mind.
Patient zero.
That all sounds bad. That all
patient
sounds
zero.
Bad.
Patient zero.
Patient zero.
Not, my apologies.
Not just a separate expression of black top rum coming from Elixir. The patient zero version.
Oh, dear Lord.
Mitch, what are you drinking now?
I just handed what I believe is a strawberry daiquiri, and I'm very excited.
You were handed that? Do you have people
he's Churchill
working for you? What is this?
Margarita with strawberries.
It's a strawberry margarita. Nice. Even better. Hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mitch Wilson being handed drinks by Liam Neeson. Thank you.
What worries me is that Mitch couldn't tell the difference between a daiquiri and a margarita.
I'm just gonna improve slightly.
Is it a little light? Is that why you couldn't tell it had tequila? Yeah,
what is that?
Tapatio. Tapatio is fantastic. No, no.
Tapatio, Ocho. Anything that Carlos Camarena makes is a delicious, delicious.
Awesome.
On that note, should we move to rum number three?
Rum number three.
Oh my God, are we on rum number three?
I'm definitely on rum number four. Okay, right. So back to number three.
Okay, my popcorn pairing with the Jamaican is freaking awesome.
Oh, we got to do that too. What popcorn
would we have with Jamaica?
We're going with the cheddar cheese and smoked paprika popcorn.
Really? Ooh, that sounds good.
Not what the crowd was expecting.
No.
For those playing along,
never expecting anything.
Well, you're going more for complimentary, not matchy-matchy, correct?
No. I'm excited about the flavor. So the thing, so Jamaica I love, and while Mitch is testing his popcorn pairing, the thing I love about Jamaica is Jamaica has this, it depends on the distillery, but there's always this kind of banana smokiness to Jamaican rum. And for the whiskey guys out there and gals, you know, for me, it's the Islay whiskey, especially something like Hampden, which is super funk. And, you know, for me, if you like your Islay whiskeys, you like your big, rich kind of Marmite whiskeys that kind of divide people, that Jamaican funkiness, especially coming out of somewhere like Hampden, is awesome. I think Mitch likes it. For those of you who cannot see Mitch, which is all of you except us here, Mitch is dancing.
You see, now you said this whole Islay thing, and as soon as I put my nose in it, it smelled, I could get almost some smoke.
Yep.
And I don't know if it's really there or you just, you know, messing with my mind.
Suggestion, but it's always this banana that even in Appleton and Worthy Park, where they don't add the muck and dunder, which they do in Hampden, you get this banana. I think it's a real sense for me of Jamaica. I think, and this is where for me the argument about aged origin and origin of a rum really, really stands true, because Jamaica definitely has this core of something that I know I'm drinking Jamaican rum when I stick my nose into it. And it just adds that sort of je ne sais quoi to any blend. But Mitch can tell you more about that. Mitch?
So
that's so good.
First of all, we have to try and remind ourselves who we picked as our representatives for Hampden and Long Pond.
Okay, Hampden.
By the way, is this a Hampden or where's this from?
So this is actually from Worthy Park.
Oh, okay.
And Worthy Park was the last distillery on our list where we ended our night, clearly, because I don't have an answer for Worthy Park, so we can pick that tonight. But we did do Hampden and Long Pond, and I think we even did. Have we got an Appleton on there?
Yeah, no, I thought Appleton was someone like Helen Mirren.
No. No.
It was Glenn Close. It was a strong woman.
Glenn Close is on our list, but we haven't met as a distillery yet. Glenn Close does not have a distillery appointed yet. She's still available.
Okay, so who are we going to give? I'm worried about Worthy Park. Like, Worthy Park's one of my favorites.
How would you describe Worthy Park?
So I think Worthy Park is kind of this a little bit restrained, a little kind of just coming up in the world of stardom. You know, like they're just on the edge of breaking through. They're probably like an indie movie. You know, one of the kind of
just kind of breaking. So it's the Saoirse Ronan of. The Saoirse Ronan of rum.
Is Glenn Close Worthy Park?
No. Okay. No, Glenn Close is not Worthy Park, Miss. Does that describe anything arrived. I just said?
She's past arrived.
I mean,
she's Jesus. Out the door.
Can you listen to me for one second?
Okay, let's put this in context now. I'm going to read out some of the non-distilleries that we're talking about tonight and just give you our character matches for them, okay? So... starting straight in, we've got Zacapa, either John Travolta or Tom Cruise for Zacapa.
It was just a bit flashy. There was some bad hair going on.
A crowd pleaser. You
know, yeah.
I would kill for bad hair. That's all I'm saying. Right, Aaron? Wouldn't you kill for bad hair?
I would kill for bad hair.
Dictador, we've got Pamela Anderson.
I was so right with that.
So there's who? Silicone in the room.
Pamela Anderson and
Pamela Anderson, yes.
All flash, nothing underneath.
For Claren from Haiti, we've got Christopher Walken. For Duppy Share, we've got Roger Moore. For Havana Club, we've got Sean Connery.
I see a theme.
I don't remember the link here with that one.
I think just drinking daiquiri somewhere. Privateer, we've got Julia Roberts.
Yeah,
that's a lot of teeth. Big hair.
Yeah. Big hair, big teeth. Takes a bite out of you.
Hey now.
Oh.
St. Lucia, we've got Dame Judi Dench.
Why?
And why not? Everybody loves a dame.
No, I think it was linked. That, I think in my head, I think that was me, was linked because Margaret Monplaisir, who is the head of St. Lucia Distillers, is the most elegant, awesome, freaking cool woman ever, and like Dame Judi Dench just fit in that.
Ah, there you go.
Thing.
A regalness to her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Hampton, Dawn, any guesses?
Can you
any
give
clues?
A clue?
Give us some clues.
Was it Idris Elba?
You know,
is that your answer to everything?
Yes, exactly. Have you seen that?
Oh,
I noticed.
By the way, speaking of Muck and Dunder. Speaking of Muck and Dunder.
Okay, so you keep coming back to Will Smith. Will Smith, we do have down, but he's for Diplomatico because everyone likes him.
That's true.
Ange, what were you going
to say? Oh, so here you go. For Muck and Dunder, how about this? A detective show. That takes place in Jamaica with Idris Elba and Jason Statham. Now, who's Muck and who's Dunder?
I'm Muck. He's Dunder.
Ooh.
It's like the Crockett and Tubbs of the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Who's the crocodile?
Crockett and Tubbs?
Crocodiles.
Jason Statham, is the Muck.
Around Hampton.
He could be the Muck. Yeah, I think he's the Muck.
Yeah, I think so.
And Idris Elba could be the Dunder.
Yeah, this is very serious conversations. I mean, this
because
is really
Idris brings the Dunder.
These are the discussions that are happening right now at Netflix.
Honestly,
this is how they're picking shows.
We should go national with this shit.
We should.
I think so. I think that, and of course, don't forget now, Summer in Como with Clooney. Don't forget that show.
That's right.
That's another show. That's our.
What distillery is George Clooney?
He's just tequila.
Yeah, he's tequila. That's true.
He's tequila.
We don't allow him in rum. He's already on tequila. That's fine.
Yeah.
Awesome. He was very nice when I met him.
Hey, are there any celebrity rums?
Thank God, no.
You know what? Actually, I got a pitch. I got a pitch for what's his name? Bruno Mars.
Bruno Mars has a rum?
Bruno Mars has a rum.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
And Bumbu has celebrity backers. I can't remember who it is.
I will find it while we're talking. I'll get to it.
No, so rum hasn't reached the level it seems where we need celebrity people to come in and save it.
Okay, so it's called Selva Ray.
Because we have pirates.
Selva Ray. And it's a beautiful box. There's a toucan on the box. The bottle looks like a bottle of champagne. It's very unusual.
Yeah.
It's called Selva. So the one they pitched me was Selva Ray Owner's Reserve. Get this, $150 a bottle.
Oh, hey.
Okay, so the most prominent rum celebrity in that sense is Lil Wayne for Bumbu.
Yeah. Ah, so okay.
Lil Wayne for Bumbu. And this is such a contentious thing in the rum world because people are like, well, Bumbu isn't high enough ABV or it's a sweet
rum. It is now. The ABV, they brought the ABV up to rum now.
Of the standard rum now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they changed it.
Well, here we go. You heard it here first. So, but people get really weird about this kind of stuff because they're like, well, it's sweetened rum. It's not the highest level of what rum has to offer. But this is, again, this is like all spirits categories, right? It's like, I remember my earliest memory of Scotch being Jules Holland playing a piano, being like, this is how you play chords together. And this is a blend of all the different notes and flavors, and this is Bell's whiskey. And you go, okay, well, that's Bell's, but also it's Jules Holland, and that's my earliest memory of what a whiskey is. Do you know what I mean? And maybe someone's memory of rum will be Lil Wayne, and maybe someone's memory of tequila will be George Clooney. But it doesn't matter where you start. Again, this is the thing that I think we all get very precious and protective about when we work in the industry, because we go, well, I only want you to drink the best possible expression of what we have to offer. And it doesn't always matter. It sometimes it's like, well, no, if that's what got you in, if you got in because of this celebrity or this person, amazing. At least you're now drinking tequila or rum or whiskey or whatever it is. Okay. I can always get you to drink something better. If we're in a bar together, if you're sat next to me at the bar, trust me, whatever you're drinking, I'm going to go, let me buy you the next one up. Let me buy you something even more amazing and try to wow you even more. If you're already in the rum camp, it's so easy to move you up. If you're a whiskey drinker and only a whiskey drinker, it's much harder for me to move you across to rum. If you're a tequila drinker, it's much harder for me to move you into the rum world. And I've got so many good things to show you. And you know, we are sometimes very, very critical of the things that get people into it. But without that marketing, without that stuff, maybe they wouldn't drink it at all, you know. So it's a double-edged sword sometimes.
And we forget that, you know, these bigger brands, these brands that have the money and the visibility, you know, that's 90% of the population, 95% of the population that are drinking those drinks. Why the hell would I ignore 95% of my drinker? I would talk to them. I would just take them on a journey. And Mitch is right. You know, you can't ignore 95% or 99% in probably the case of rum. Yeah. Or big brands. Yeah. And I want 10% of that share to be drinking better rum. And that's probably realistic. But I have to talk to them first.
Well, celebrity booze in general, I think, is gateway booze. It leads you to a category and hopefully leads you somewhere else.
Okay, let's take George Clooney's tequila. Is it the best tequila in the world? Hell no. But it's an easy drinking tequila. So people are going to drink it. It's got a little sweetness. It's not too vegetal. It's just soft. So if that gets one person to try one tequila, then I can get them drinking Tapatio or Cali 23 or...
And let's talk about celebrity tequila right now, okay? Because the most recent one was...
One of the Jenners. One of her
Was it Kendall Jenner?
Kendall Jenner?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Kendall Jenner, right? Okay. This is a perfect example of everything that's wrong with the booze industry, okay? Kendall Jenner tries these two tequilas and she's like trying them out. And they do the video of her and she's like, she tries them both, tastes them both. She's like, I like this one. It's smoother or sweeter or something like that, okay? And they go, yay, we've picked the tequila. We've picked the final blend, okay? And you go, cool, amazing. And now that's the tequila they're making. And every spirits person in the world shits on her because they're like, oh, you pick the one that's smoother or sweeter or whatever it is, like, and that's your tasting note. That's what you go on. And you go, yeah, okay. Hopefully there are other things that we can talk about in that tequila. Hopefully there are other things that we can talk about all in. And it's like, yeah, brand 818, okay, is the tequila she's gone for. And you go, cool. But you know what? You'll get so many people drinking tequila now. Yeah. And eventually they'll go, you know what? Try this and try Ocho. Try this and try Fortaleza. And try this and try that. And eventually they'll go, let's go for the best tequila we can. And they'll move up and up and up and up until they're drinking the best possible agave spirits they can. Maybe if they're surrounded by the right bartenders and the right people and everything else who go, because that is our job. As people on the bar, we go, let's get you to drink the best possible thing. As people like Dawn, who are buyers for Whiskey Exchange, they go, let's get you to drink the best possible thing. Wherever you start at does not need to be where you finish. Whatever the drink you drank when you were 15 years old, stealing booze out of your parents' liquor cabinet, that's not... That's
is
not.
That, is that to me or is that you, Don?
That was me, Sambuca.
I thought you were stereotyping me. I'm sorry. I'm just checking. Just making sure.
It was you. It was also
it was you.
Ah, right. I drank Sambuca. Fine. I drank some Sambuca.
We all started somewhere. Whoever's listening to this podcast, whoever's made it this far, started somewhere, and you remember what the first drink was that you drank. I remember my friend who I looked up to who was a few years older than me going, actually, the difference between Smirnoff Red and Smirnoff Blue is very different. And you have to freeze it because these are the kind of booze education lessons we get in Essex in England. Okay? We all started somewhere and we all moved up. But if you don't have an entry point, where do you get? And you know what? I think the booze industry has enough people cutting each other down. We need to build each other up. And wherever you begin from, it doesn't matter if it's Kendall Jenner's tequila or The Rock's tequila or George Clooney's tequila or fucking Pirates or whatever it is. Like, move up from where you start from, but let's support it. No, like, if they get people into your industry, if they get people into the camp, amazing. And we do it in the right way and we do it in a nice way. And we get them to drink better and better and better and less and less and better quality and better quality and better quality. That's the way.
Mitch, are you telling us that we should not drink Black Top Rum, we should drink Black Top 50th?
Well, Black Top 50th is a wonderful, wonderful blend. Which rum are we up to, by the way? Are we up
to we're up to Black Top.
We're up to Black Top Finest Caribbean. So yes, we're going to drink Black Top Finest Caribbean next. So this is the blend of the Barbados, the Guyana, and the Jamaica all together, having a little party together. And again, if you were tasting this along at home, or if you don't have a tasting pack, and I'm just going to come and bring this rum to you, we would do this little breakdown. The way I think of appreciating a blend is going, okay, this is the band playing together. This is all the instruments all at once. This is all the noise, all the singers, the musicians, everyone together. We've played you each individual instrument. We've played you the Barbados, the Guyana, Jamaica. You go, okay, that's fruity, that's chocolatey, that's coffee, that's funky, that's spice. And then in a blend, you get to taste it all together. One thing that we do
on should be better than some of its parts.
If it was different little like flavor receptors on your tongue, all of them would be firing at once.
When you do look at Black Tart, and those of you not tasting at home, and you know, just to kind of give you a little description of it, you know, I think you do get that sort of earthiness and that dried fruit from Barbados, which I think is a real kind of key. You get a hint of that banana from Jamaica, and then you just get this sort of caramels and these sort of dried spices that for me bring Guyana, but they all support each other. I think the thing that's very good about Black Tart is that it does bridge that whiskey consumer and that rum consumer, because I think as a whiskey consumer, it's dry, it's got that little bit of spice, you've got that fruit, you've got that kind of almost sherry-esque dried fruit, and it's a nice segue into rum, and I think Black Tart does a really good job of doing that.
Even for you guys, we're on the Booze Dancing Whiskey podcast. Like, I'm pretty sure you guys are more whiskey. You're like, oh, we've got a rum session. Exactly. I'm here to make you all fall in love with rum. That's the goal here tonight.
Well, just so you know, we're A, a captive audience, and B, we're pretty easy when it comes to drinks.
Yeah,
just pour. We'll drink.
That's what I like to hear, Gilo.
Thumbs up. Big thumbs up.
So who's our celebrity? Who's our pairing actor or actress?
So this is a really good question. I have.
See, you need someone
this.
Very versatile that could pretty much play anything.
That's right. You need a jackknife, a jack of all trades.
So, okay. So wait. Here you go. Ready? Ready?
We have one. We did pick one for Black Tie.
Well, okay. So think about it. You're filming a movie. You've got everything cast, and you need someone that you know you can rely on and can get the job done.
Someone who can be funny, who can be dry. Who
exactly. Can be
Eeyore. Is it Idris Elba?
No,
Idris Elba.
Isn't it always?
Eeyore.
Eeyore's not an actor.
But I like Eeyore.
Yeah, but you also like this actor.
Doesn't have a SAG card.
Classic British, dry, fruity, can do any part. Pardon?
John Cleese again?
No, not John Cleese, but of the same same ilk, same dry.
Hugh Laurie. Is it Hugh Laurie?
Yes.
Hugh Laurie.
Is it Hugh Laurie?
No, but Hugh Laurie would also be a good fit. It's on that same realm.
Have we picked someone already?
Tall, thin, and neat. Is that possible?
Think someone who's done historical series through time.
Oh, the one of those Doctor Who guys.
The Doctor Who guy.
Yeah, the Doctor Who guy.
Yeah, which one though?
Not the Doctor Who guy who has also done historical series through time. Think a comedy historical series through time.
Monty Python.
Blackadder.
Blackadder guy.
The Rowan Atkinson.
Black Tot is the Rowan Atkinson of rum.
Did we give it that?
I have a cunning plan.
Sometimes I'm amazed by our genius, Mitch, even when we're drunk.
Honestly, when we're drunk, we're at our best. It's just the most fluid movement.
It's true.
That's so back to Gilo's original show about, you know, you got to have a certain amount of blood alcohol in you in order to get your even pace.
See?
Some people are higher than others. So what would the Scotch equivalent be to this? You had the Islas and the Space Sides. What would you say this was?
I almost feel it would be kind of, I want to say Ireland, maybe. It's quite easy. No, I don't know. I have to think about that. That's a good question.
So was the Scotch equivalent of this?
I feel like this would be really dry. It's just like, you know, just like super dry actors just being like.
I'm thinking Glen Scotia.
Super serious about things.
Tam it's a Highland.
I like Glen Scotia.
Highland Park?
It's a Highland Park. No. Dignified.
That'd be mean.
How about a Glenfiddich 15?
That's an interesting one. What about a Glenlivet?
A Glenlivet, maybe a Nadura?
Any Glen will do.
Nadura. No, Nadura has a little too much balls. I don't know. I'm going to have to come back to that.
The Glen McKenna.
Well, how about this? How about if it's like a Compass Box Spice Tree?
Oh, that's a good thought. I like this thought. Compass Box is good because they're blenders. Or Johnny Walker Green. I like Johnny Walker Green.
Okay. Johnny Walker Green could work.
But I think Compass Box Spice Tree is kind of a, I'm going to take that. I can see it. Unless it's 50th anniversary, and then I think we're more in the kind of Glenfarclas 21 category. I think I'm going.
Guess we have to jump ahead there.
Because... No, before we jump ahead, I want to hear. Well, we could jump ahead too. I want to hear about the rum show.
Oh, the rum show!
I think Dawn just jumped out of her seat.
Okay, let me get a bit of a background to this. As well as being the buyer for speciality, I also am the head of the events team. So I also run Whiskey Show, which is now one of the biggest whiskey shows in the world. Old and Rare, Cognac Show, which is coming up next week. Champagne Show, just because you have to have bubbles in your life. And I wanted to do a rum show. So I basically have kind of been like, no, I don't know. We don't have time to do it. And I'm quite overambitious in my life. And so I thought, well, we have four shows. Why not have a fifth? And so we decided to do Rum Show this year. It's going to be in July, the last sort of Wednesday, Thursday Thursday, Friday, Saturday of July. It's going to be virtual this year. All our shows are going to have a virtual element, even Whiskey Show, because we know it just not many people are still going to be able to travel. There's still going to be sort of issues there. And, you know, just we're not sure what the government's going to do. So we thought, let's go virtual first. We will have an element in some bars as well. And so then we were kind of talking. And I thought, do you know what? When we did Whiskey Show, I felt sort of how Dave Broom and I sort of worked together as presenters worked super well. We have a lot of fun together. And then I thought, I can't really do rum and not have my partner in crime involved. So Mitch is the other host. So that's myself, Mitch, and Dave Broom.
I definitely invited myself. It's like, hey, can I come play? I was like, well, I've literally got Dave Broom, the world-renowned spirits writer, whiskey fucking extraordinaire, rum author, everything. And I'm like, can I come play? Gorn's like, fine, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's kind of how it happened. But yeah, so it's we're going to do it over 3 days. We've got some really amazing topics lined up. I'm super, super excited. And so we've got a lot kind of going on with it. We're going to do some activation in bars in the UK as well, just sort of kind of cheaper cocktails and really try and bring rum to life. And it's kind of one of those things when you have a passion for something. I love Whiskey Show. I mean, Whiskey Show is one of the best shows ever, but I think rum show is going to be a lot more fun. All my whiskey friends are like, really, really, Dawn?
Obviously, rum show is going to be more fun than Whiskey Show.
I don't know if any of you guys managed to see any of Black Tot 24 Hours. Pretty much Mitch and I staying up for 24 hours talking shite to a lot of people.
So people asked us after Black Tot 24 Hours, they were like, are you going to do 48 next year? And because Dawn Davies is an overachiever, she's like, no, 72 hours.
Oh,
she's pretty much the Le Mans of the.
I was going to say, world. You're basically taking Le Mans times three.
Yeah. She's the Jerry Lewis.
Never stop.
She's running the telethon.
Hey,
she's Jerry Lewis.
Mike, what is that thing they do now? Those not marathons, but you do like three marathons in a row.
Ultra marathon.
Yes, this is like the ultra marathon.
She's an ultra marathoner. Yes.
As long as you don't wind up like that woman in the Iron Man in Hawaii at the very end, where she just kind of lost consciousness, you know, just went crazy and she's crawling to the finish line and all bad things happened to that poor woman.
That's kind of what happened in Black Tot 24 Hours.
That was hour 21.
I just cry at the end of every single show I do. I just cry.
Well, I have poured the 50th anniversary.
I am pouring the 50th too.
Let's pour the 50th anniversary.
Oh, it's bigger.
I have to say,
it's better. Gone.
The Whiskey Show last year, we were lucky enough from our good friend Chanel to get us into the show, and we had the best time. I was in a lot of different places during my work hours, during my non-work hours, and if that was any indication, I'm sure the Rum Show will be a massive success.
Oh, thank you. No, it was. Do you know what I have to say? I was if you say what I was the most proudest of last year and anything I did, Whiskey Show was definitely with Black Tot was the two things I'm most proud of because they were pretty crazy.
You know, Mitch's head is getting very large. Have you noticed that, guys? Yeah. His head is getting bigger.
You meant to say everything was great except Mitch, that guy.
I don't need to tell him that. I tell him that every day.
So to talk about our final rum tonight, our Black Tot 50th anniversary, this is our blend of everything special, essentially. And it also has the sexiest back label in rum. Which isn't a common marketing line that you'll hear about, like, look at how good our back label is. But also, most rums don't like to tell you what's in the rum. And a lot of rums are like, oh, here's a blend of something which we can never tell you about or never what's in it. All I encourage you to do, if you're listening to this podcast, if you've made it this far, is go to our website, blacktot.com, look up the 50th anniversary, and we will tell you exactly what's in this ridiculous blend of rum with Hampton, with Foursquare, with Caroni, with Demerara Distillers, with some Iflut, with some old Royal Naval flagons, like just the craziest blend of rum. And also, what I'm really proud of is that we tell you the exact recipe for the rum, so you know exactly what's in it.
And you can do it at home.
Yeah, you can do it at home. Just get a few. Just get a few casks of rum, some old like Coronis and like Royal Naval Flagons, and just throw it together yourself. You know.
So it's an homage to the history of the Black Tuck.
Yeah, I think it's a super complex rum. I think it's got real depth. You know, I think when you have that old kind of characters in it, and you have these lovely sort of fruit flavors, it's a really nice balance of old and new. And I think it's absolutely delicious. I think Ollie Chilton did an amazing job with this rum. I think he's absolutely spot on with it, and it's definitely one of my favorite rums of 2020 for sure, or 2021 now.
Now that's a name we haven't heard yet. So Oliver Chilton is the blender for Black Tot.
He's our leader, our captain at Elixir Distillers, and he's well renowned in the whiskey world for
yes, he is.
Port of Skeg, Elements of Islay, Single Malts of Scotland, and he is a whiskey drinker through and through.
Was he a rum drinker before this? Before Black Tot?
No, not at all.
I don't think Ollie knew what rum was.
Could he spell it?
This is the thing with when you're coming to rum from a whiskey world, is you come at it from a very different place. And I remember trying Black Tot Finest Caribbean for the first time, and I said to Ollie, what rum were you trying to create? Were you trying to create something for a Mai Tai or a daiquiri or this or that? And he's like, I'm a whiskey drinker. I'm just trying to create a rum that I would drink as a whiskey drinker. I was like, huh, okay. That's which is a completely different line that most people come to the rum world with. And then when he did 50th anniversary, he really came into that blend going, I'm just going to make the most kick-ass blend that anyone's ever seen. And I remember him saying to me, what would you include in this? I was like, well, I'd have this. He's like, okay. And then he came back to me with the blend. He was like, so I took everything you said and then I added some more stuff to it that I thought was even more cool, because I thought there were limitations to what we could add. And he was like, I just had some Navy Ram flagons and some 23-year-old Coroni and some 42-year-old Iflet distillery into it. Ta-da! And I was like, okay.
And cool. To be honest, Mitch, I have paired this with the most complex popcorn.
Ooh.
It is caramel.
And what brand of popcorn is that?
So this is Joe and Seth.
Future sponsor of
our What We Watch When We Drink.
Joe and Seth. Turns out two people called Joe and Seth met each other and went, we want to create a popcorn company. And they're like, my God, my name's Joe, your name's Seth.
The ultimate blend.
This is caramel, mirin, soya, and sesame.
What is mirin, Dawn?
Mirin is like a Japanese white wine that's sweetened. Since we have reached the last dram, and we have got to finish the show on a high, we should do our toast now that everyone knows the movements.
So if you've made it this far in the podcast, which is an amazing attention span.
First of all, if you've made it this far, we say we're sorry.
We apologize.
And we're much better with alcohol.
There are way better podcasts out there.
Well, we're much better with alcohol than without. So just totally. Drink along, please.
If you're still here, the whole Booze Dancing crew, Dawn Davis and I will personally fly out to your home bar and do this session live. If you've made it this far, email mitch@blacktot.com saying, subject title, I've made it this far. And tell me your home address, phone
Don't
number.
Don't do that, people. Don't do that.
He'll never leave. It's a complicated email.
Don't invite him in.
Yes, he's a vampire.
He has to be invited.
This is how just walk in. This is how the vampires get in. Send me the subject line, whatever I just said, plus your home address. Dawn Davies and I will turn up at an undisclosed time. We'll just appear at your door and invite ourselves in, not because we're vampires, but because you have sent us your address and we'll take that.
Oh, that's really the invite. Yeah.
And you made it this far.
If you live somewhere hot, email us. If you don't bother.
It'll be 86 degrees in Los Angeles, California tomorrow.
We'll just pretend we never got the email. All right. Okay. So Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to describe this whole toast to you word by word. I'm going to say the first line. You're going to repeat after me. You can have some rum in your glass. You're going to raise and lower your glass in certain denominations that I decree to you right now. Okay. So after there are tall ships, you're going to raise your glass. After there are small ships, you're going to lower your glass. After there are ships that sail the sea, you're going to circulate your glass in a round motion that denominates the whole globe if you were a flat earther. Okay.
I need a barf pack. Can you see sick?
I'm going to start if you don't. Go.
All right. Okay. So there are tall ships.
Lift your glass.
There are small ships.
Lower your glass.
There are ships that sail the sea. Pretend that you're a flat earther.
Just go straight.
But the best ships, raise your glass sort of in a drunken fashion, friendships, and cheers your glass towards a friend in your general direction.
And here's
to him, cheers to you,
you and me,
and me. Cheers, everyone.
Cheers. Cheers. Well, on that note, we cannot thank you two, Mitch and Don, for coming on to talk all about Black Tot, talk a little bit about movies. Hey, we didn't actually compare. We didn't mate Black the 50th to a star, did we?
Idris Elba.
Of course. And definitely. Always. There we go. Boom. Finally.
He finally got one.
We thank you.
Idris Elba is our 50th anniversary.
Makes total sense. We need to call that guy.
This podcast has been sponsored by Idris Elba.
Oh, we should be so lucky.
Future sponsor of Dawn Davies.
She wishes. Thank you guys for coming on to What We Watch When We Drink. We like to thank all the folks over at Elixir and Impex, Dawn Davies, Mitch Wilson, Black Tot, Rum. This was just a really wonderful day with you guys. We can't thank you enough. And don't forget to watch out for the Rum Show coming your way virtually in a few months. And
end of July.
And we hope you guys have a great afternoon. Thank you again for coming on.
Booze Dancing, thank you so much for having us. It's such a pleasure to be with you guys. You guys are the absolute best. And I always have fun hanging out with you guys on these. Thank you.
Cheers, Mitch. Cheers, Dawn.
Cheers. Oh, my God, that was the best.
We didn't get to talk about much TV, but that's okay.
That's okay. We talked rum.
We talked stars.
It was so fun. And this rum is really delicious.
It is.
All the components are really great.
The 50th, I get a little black olives in it. It's a weird flavor. I don't know what I'm doing.
Huh. I like the Jamaican one.
Earthy.
I do. Yeah, same here. And I did get a little bit of oil out of that one.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the power of suggestion, but...
Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a good suggestion. It's a good,
I kind of like the way, you transpose rum to whiskey drinkers. And you say, this is like a Speyside.
Yeah.
This is more like, a Glen Scotia. This is more like an Islay. This is because it's the flavor profiles. I don't like it. Well, you just haven't had the stuff you like. Try this. You'll like this. It was good.
I think it's a really fascinating spirit section. And I think these guys are really, really unique in the way they present this. Yeah. And I love deconstructing any kind of whiskey because we know most of them are just really blends on their own. And this was really fun to kind of look at all the little components and talk Idris Elba for like 2 hours.
And it gives you appreciation, like blends aren't bad.
For Idris Elba, I appreciate Idris Elba.
Some blends I think are great. Idris Elba's great. Yeah. And blends are great. And Idris Elba's really great. Yeah. And future sponsor of Dawn Davies.
Hey now.
Hey, you're the one that called her a super spreader.
That's right.
I don't know what was going on. 72 hours
of Dawn Davies or Le Mans or whatever that is of the Rum Show. It was a great show, guys. This was really fun. We can't thank everyone enough. Impex, Elixir, Distillers, all the folks at the UK office, Mitch Wilson, Dawn Davies. It was great.
And thanks to you, Mike. And
thanks to you guys.
Episode 13. Thank you.
Episode 13.
Shall I take us out?
Take us out.
Until episode 14.
So you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Audible, Google, or visit us at boozedancing.com. By all means, email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Suggestions, you know, whatever you want. We're here for you. So, gentlemen.
Cheers.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Ciao, boys.
See ya. Ciao.